welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Let's give a round of applause for everything that's happened so far. I mean, that is brilliant. So it's definitely a party attitude in here today, I reckon, don't you? A celebration. I just got a few minutes with you guys. I want you to imagine just for a minute the worst thing you've ever smelt. And I know some of you said my big brother. Oh, Joel. Okay, yeah. Poor Joel. Let's just check this. This is dangerous after a weekend away. Hello, Joel.
Hi.
No, he's officially smell-free. Or bad smell-free, anyway. I'm sure more than one person was tempted to think my big brother, though. Right, imagine then this terrible, terrible smell, and then in addition to that, this awful smell just all around you, you're sat in the kind of mud that the angels were wading through earlier on. You're just sat in thick, horrible, gunky mud, okay? And in the mud, you're sharing the mud with some pigs, and there's food there as well. But you're in such a state that you think, despite the mud and the pig, well, what pigs do, you know, eat and then, you know, you're in the middle of all of that, and then you think, oh, that pig food, I could really eat some of that. Have you got the picture now? Anybody need to nip out for the bucket? Well, that was the situation of the little Lego man. I don't think Jesus told it originally with Lego. I'm not sure. I will check that out. I don't think that was an original as shown by the side of Lake Galilee, but we'll find out for you. But he was talking about real people, but it was a story to show the heart of God to the people, just to the people he loved, really. And there's two other key characters in the story, because there's two other ways. He was talking about two ways in which we could relate to God. And they were the older son and the younger son. But at the moment, it's the younger son who's sat in the mud. He's sat in the smell. He's so hungry. He's thinking, I could eat some of that pig food. And it takes this situation of muddy food to make him think, you know what? Even though I've got rid of everything my father has given me, even the servants in his house, better than this. I'm going to go home. And now he knows he's totally messed up. He went to his father, he'd asked him for his whole share of the inheritance, and he turned his back on everything that his father stood for, and he'd gone off, and he was a good Jewish boy, so feeding pigs was a very disreputable thing to be doing. He'd gone away completely from his father's Jewish inheritance, and he knew he couldn't go back. So he thought, maybe I can just get a job there. Because they do so well, the servants, it's going to be better than working for this crook of a pig owner. And so he gets up out of the mud, leaves behind the pig food, and heads back towards where his father lives. Now it says in the story, this is in Luke 15, in the Gospels, that the father is out looking for him. Now the son didn't expect that for a start. In fact, you can tell from the story that he was approaching with his head down because he doesn't see his father coming. He's totally ashamed of what he's done. He's repentant, if you like. He's changed his mind that he wants to be the back, but he knows there's just no way he can be back with his father. But his father sees him. Now, we don't get much out of this, really, because it's not so unusual for us. But it says that the father sees the son and starts to run down the road towards him. This is special Kingdom Faith slow motion. Bombs down the road towards him and throws his arms around him. Well, that's good. That's what a father would do. But not in their culture. For a dignified businessman like he was, he owned all this farm property, for him to run was totally shocking. You know, it was beneath his dignity. It does sound a bit strange to us, but try and put yourself in that culture for a minute and realize that the father, by running down the road, in the eyes of those around, including his servants, he was humbling himself. He was actually being humiliated in his passion and love for his son. So God, the father, runs down the road towards the son, throws his arms around him, and the son's trying to get some words out. Father, I know I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but just take me on as one of your hired servants. And the father just cuts him straight off. Because such is the love of the father that he's just delighted to see his son back. He's just delighted to see that someone has come to him. And Jesus is trying to show a picture of how God the Father is to anyone that comes to him. Whether they're coming back to him or whether they've never really appreciated who he is. He's still there, ready, looking. He's quite happy to humiliate himself in that sense and run down towards him. Jesus was going to be thoroughly humiliated. He was going to be stripped naked and hung up on a cross. But it was worth it to enable this restoration to take place. And then the father says to him, right, we're going to have a party, but you're going to need a cloak. We're going to put a cloak around you. We're going to put a ring on your finger. We're going to put sandals on your feet. And the cloak was just showing that you're back within the inheritance. You're back within everything that I have is yours. It was a cloak of status. The ring showed that he had authority. You see, the son had said, oh, just take me back on as one of your servants. And the father says, no, here's my ring. This shows you've got authority on the farm again. You can tell the servants what to do. You can give orders. You're back in your full position of sonhood. And the sandals on his feet, again, that doesn't sound that amazing. You know, well, dad gave him a pair of flip-flops. Great, safe hurting his feet. You know, he must have been a street angel. But in the culture of the day, only the free people wore sandals. The slaves and servants usually went barefoot. So we're giving him sandals in the story. He's saying, here, I'm restoring your freedom. All right, this is the actual thing that Jesus died for us. He died to give us freedom. You know, you can never make someone become a Christian because it's the opposite. It's the antithesis of what being a Christian is. It's a free choice. God has given us over to choose to live our lives exactly as we want to do. But if we turn towards him, he comes running down the hill to meet us. Amazing. But some people, they're kind of hanging around God on the outskirts as it is. And that's who the elder son is. We don't, you know, he can take the place of many people. But the thing is, he's working on the farm. He doesn't have a very good relationship with his father, because we can tell that by the way the story goes ahead. So he's not exactly close, but he does know of the father, and he is on the farm. And when he hears that there's a party being thrown for his younger brother coming back, he is miffed, with a capital M. I-F-F-E-D, in fact, all capitals, he's it, miffed, cross, angry. Because he said, and the father hears that he's angry. And notice again what the father does, who is God to us in this story. It says that God left the party, the father left the party, and went out to find him. He was in a right old mood. The father knew what he was going to find, but he still went to him. You know, sometimes we can get, because of our situation, we can get angry with God. That doesn't turn him away. He's still right there, ready for you. Sometimes it takes a situation of smell and mud and pig's food to make us realize, I really want to get back to my place of inheritance. I really want to be back in the place I'm supposed to be. But the older son is standing outside somewhere, and the father finds him and says, son, come on. Let's celebrate. And the older son says, no. He said, this son of yours, notice he didn't say my brother. He's trying to distance himself now. This son of yours, he squandered all your money. He squandered all the inheritance. He doesn't deserve anything. And yet you're giving him a party. And you've killed the fatted calf. Now this wasn't like going to Sainsbury's and buying a bumper pack of beef burgers. You know, the culture again, they didn't eat that much meat. So when you killed the fatted calf, it was a really important occasion. So it's no wonder this guy was a little bit upset. You know, he's kind of hoping that maybe dad would let him have the fatted calf. Of course, the ironic thing is, he could have as much of it as he wants. It's in his house. It's ready to eat, and he won't go in. It's amazing how anger or upset or insult can stop us from feasting on what God has provided for us. So anyway, he goes The father's talking to the son, and the son says, "No, I'm not going in." He says, "Look, this brother of yours is found. We need to celebrate. This is really important." And the story actually is left tantalizingly open. It never tells us whether the elder son went in or not. Maybe it's because people in that position, some go in and some don't. If you're in that position, are you going to go in? Or are you going to stay out? What keeps people out? Just like the older son, you're upset about something, you're angry about something, you don't agree with the celebration or the way somebody else is being treated, and so you stay out. I'm not going in. And yet the father's saying, "Come on, let's celebrate. Let's get together. Let's have a good time." And remember, he was given a robe to show he belonged again. And anybody that says yes to God, yes to Jesus, is given what's called a robe of righteousness. And it's a robe that says, you are made right with God. There's nothing any longer that will prevent you from being able to come into his presence, ask him for whatever you want. Actually, it's a bit more than just that. Because there's also a ring placed on your finger. Not a real one, but a spiritual ring that's more real than a real one. That says you have authority now. What authority? What do you mean? Well, you're part of the family. What family? God's family. It means you're one of the sons of the house. Male or female, you're one. In fact, you have the authority of the oldest son. Because referring to culture again, the oldest son received most of the inheritance. That ring is, you have authority, says Jesus, to do what I've been doing. And then we have sandals, because the sandals are freedom. And God gives us our freedom to live our lives as we were meant to be. Not bound by anything else that somebody else says, but simply living in his word and his way. Under his authority as the Father. But that is true freedom. So you've got this robe, you've got this ring, and you've got these sandals. And then at other times Jesus showed what it was like to be wearing the sandals, what it was like to have the ring, what it was like to have the robe. And so at many times great crowds would gather around Jesus. And it says in at these times everyone that was brought to Jesus was healed. Because sometimes you just think there was just a few people of the stories we know. But if you read it carefully, there's many times, again and again and again, where it just says, and Jesus healed them all. We just have a few documented for interest and usually used as a teaching point. But the general thing was, he was a son, he was wearing the ring of authority, if you like, and he was using that authority to release heaven on earth. I don't know how many of you ever learnt the Lord's Prayer. It used to be a thing in schools, it's not so common now, although it's still there sometimes. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be. See, I learnt it in the old English, so I can't find it really difficult to pray it in modern English. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Even in that basic prayer is the what's in heaven be released here on earth. And Jesus has given us authority to take from heaven what is in heaven and release here on earth. And in heaven, there is no sickness. So we take hold of health and release it into people's lives. And we've had stories, I was telling a few the other week, so I can't repeat them, of miracles that we saw in Italy when I was out there recently. But we see them here in this room too. But stories where people's bone in their back has regrown and all the pain that prevented them from sitting down has gone. A lady that had nothing that you need in order to be able to have a baby is suddenly demonstrating that she has it again. There are youngers in the room, so I was very careful this time. And stories of the young boy who was 9, who was dyslexic and couldn't read children's books very well, who was healed on the spot and was able to read over a microphone, which is pressure if you have trouble reading. He read from an adult Bible, clearly, with no problem at all. Just healed. And there's many stories like that. Why does that happen? Because we've got a ring. And that ring says, I will take what my Father says I can have, and I will release it here on the earth. Because the Father did say one other thing to the Son, because the Son says, I've been slaving for you for years in these fields, and you've never given me anything. He's got a bit of an attitude. And the Father, God, says to him, yes, but you've always been with me, and everything I have is yours. You can have a cupboard full of food, but if you sit outside the door and sulk, you'll never get to eat any of it. And that's basically what the Father says to him. Everything I have is yours, but you never take it. You never use it. You just think you've got to shovel, work hard in the fields. You're my son. Everything I have is yours. And he said the same, effectively, to the younger son by putting the robe and the ring and the sandals on him. He's saying, everything I have is yours. And everyone that runs down the road, who gets involved in the Lego party, he says the same thing. I'm giving you all authority so that you can bring heaven down here on earth. So in heaven, there's no stress. There's no, you know, when your mind is just, I can't cope with all this. There's peace. And so we can reach into heaven and bring peace down into our lives when things are not good. In heaven, there's healing, as we've already talked about. In heaven, there's forgiveness. So we can take hold of forgiveness to enable us to forgive others. So that we can move on and not have disruption and hatred, but take his forgiveness and share it with others. In heaven, there's not families falling out with one another. There's good relationships. And so we can take from heaven and pray for our families to see families restored to good relationships and marriages restored. It's a resource. It's something we can take hold of. And the Father says, everything I have is yours. And to take hold of it, we just have to do one thing. We have to say yes to Jesus. We have to say, yes, you are Lord of my life. It's called repentance in the Bible. The Greek word, because I always like to throw in a bit of Greek, is metanoia. As Brian's already repeating it because he's heard me say it before. And it means to change your mind. It doesn't mean to wail and cry on the floor, though sometimes it's like that because you realize how wonderful God is. Because God doesn't want you wandering around thinking, I'm a worm, I'm scum. He does exactly the same as he did with this boy that came back covered in mud and pig swill. He throws his arms around you and says, you're my son. You have authority. You have a place with me. You don't need to have your head down. You don't need to be ashamed anymore. It's all been sorted. And it was sorted by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. If you're in Pigswill, or maybe you're just in a nice place, you still have to come down the road to the Father. Or if you've been hanging around church for a long time, but you've thought, I've never really said yes to Jesus. I've just been working around and doing stuff. I've never really gone into the party. Then listen to the Father this morning and say, yes. I'll say yes to Jesus. I'll say yes to what he did. And I'll come in to the Father's house. Because this is the Father's house that you're sitting in right now. It meets all around the world in many, many places. But the household of the Father is these people that know Jesus. And that's his invitation to you. Come and join the party. Come and join my family by saying yes to Jesus and changing your mind from going your own way and doing your own thing. And the price has been paid. Amen? Okay. We're going to stand up for a minute. Hallelujah. We're going to draw the morning to an end very soon. But before we do that, I want to give an opportunity for people to respond if they want to do that today. Now, there's two ways you can respond this morning. Claire, could you come and play keyboard for me? Yes, you are here. Brilliant, thanks. And there's two ways that you can respond this morning. And we're going to give an opportunity to respond. And then we will pray for people that want to be prayed for. And we'll bring the morning to an end. And we'll pull that door across so if you need to get off or you'd rather have a cup of coffee, you're very welcome to go and do that. or you can stay in here and join in with the prayer, or you can just watch and see what God is doing. It's completely up to you. Okay? But if you could just play me something. Thank you, Claire. Such specific instructions there. Because I want us to take hold of that ring of authority and release heaven on earth here in this room. There's two ways, as I said, to do that this morning. You can do one or the other, or both. The first one, the first thing we can do, is say yes to Jesus. This is about coming into the Father's household. You might not fully understand what it's all about. That's okay. The younger son didn't fully understand what he was coming back to. In fact, he thought it was going to be pretty awful. He would just have to be a servant in his own father's house. But the father completely restored him. And maybe what's kept you away from God is a fear of what God would say if you dared come to him. I tell you what he'll say to you this morning. You're welcome. Welcome home. So you can say yes to Jesus. You can be saved. And the second one is an opportunity to receive healing. And this is really where we take hold of that ring and we use the authority that God says we've had to stand with you to see you healed. And we want to just stand and release God's presence into your body. And it might be that you need something in your mind. It might be that you need something in your body. It might be that financially you're just in a complete mess and you just need God to do a miracle for you. He'll do that. It's not usually a bag of money on the doorstep the next morning. It's usually more likely you get a job or you get a promotion. But God deals with everything. And sometimes he does just give surprise gifts as well. But that's being healed. So the two things are being saved and being healed. So how do you take hold of these things? Well, Jesus said you have to use faith. And faith is believing. How do you know you believe? You know you believe when you do something. So you believe that if you sat down, that chair would hold you. That's the level of faith. You did something. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do something so that you know that you've got faith to receive what Jesus has for you. Whether that's salvation, whether that's healing, or whether that's both. And the thing that I'm going to give you the opportunity to do is to come and walk and stand out the front here, because we're going to pray with each person individually. And ask you, what have you come forward for? Is it for healing? Is it for salvation? Or is it for both? And just give you that opportunity to respond. So, is that clear? Okay, thank you, Jesus. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. We'll just pray, and then there'll be that opportunity to come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the fun that we've had this morning. And we just take this one moment of seriousness to consider, have I said yes to Jesus? And do I need healing from him today? And if your answer is yes, I need salvation. Yes, I need healing. Then in a minute, come forward. Lord Jesus, we pray that everybody here in this room that is in need would meet with you and have that need met. There's no person in this room that can heal you. It is Jesus that will heal you. But we will stand with you and with that ring of authority, release from heaven what is needed in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, I know it can be daunting, the idea of walking to the front, but the reason for doing it is for you to have the reassurance that you have a level of faith. Because it takes faith to walk out the front here. You have to overcome fear. You have to overcome any intimidation that you might feel just from the situation. That's your faith, and that's why we're doing it. So if you want to say yes to Jesus this morning, or you want to be saved, please come and stand along the front here. And at the same time, because we're going to ask each individual anyway, at the same time, if you need healing this morning, could you come along and just stand just in front of me? Because we want to release the healing of God into your life. Thank you, Jesus. Give a few moments for anybody that's wondering. Don't miss your opportunity to say yes to Jesus today. Father's waiting for you. As soon as you move towards him, he's going to run down the road. Thank you, Jesus. Give another 30 seconds for anybody that wants to respond and wants to say yes to Jesus, or is seeking healing to be released either in their bodies or their minds or their families or their finances, for them to come forward. There's somebody here who's got an earache right now, and God wants to heal that earache. It's in your right ear, and it came on this morning. It wasn't too bad first thing, so you still came along today, but actually is worse now than when you were in your own house. You come forward. Jesus wants to heal that. There's somebody else that gets a lot of pain in both your hips. It's particularly acute, you find, when you're walking up and down stairs. You've even been considering moving to a house without stairs because it's become such a problem for you. God wants to release you from that pain today. If that's you, please come forward. There's somebody else who's been getting a lot of spots or floaters or in their eyes, and you've been quite worried that you've got a very serious problem developing with your eyesight, but you haven't sought out medical help yet. You want to come forward. That's the faith that will release the healing into your eyes, that those symptoms will be healed as the underlying problem is dealt with by the Lord. We work very much with doctors. If you get healed this morning, we always ask people to check things out with a doctor. Don't stop taking medication. Don't cancel any hospital visits. You should still do those. When God heals, it just gives a testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start praying with these people now. But before I do that, I just want to say huge thanks to everybody that joined us today. Especially if you've been a visitor. It's been great to have you. Hope you had a good morning. And love to see you another time. It's just been great to have you here today. Hope you enjoy a cup of coffee. If it's your first visit, you get a free drink, by the way, if you haven't managed to tack in on that one yet. Even if you normally come here, grab a free one anyway. It's your first time on a Sunday. My wife was getting panicky there. She said, "What, everyone?" No, I just meant people that come in the week. I've never been on a Sunday. So thanks very much. Be blessed. And the coffee shop is open. It's been lovely to have you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.